it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Through the Bible with Joe McGee, and we are having one exciting journey going from Genesis to Revelation, and we're taking our time doing it, and we're doing it in chronological order. So what does that mean? Well, we're doing it as it happened. The Bible is not written in chronological order. The Bible is written the biggest book to the smallest book. Book one is Genesis. Genesis covers some 2,500 years of history. And so the last book, you know, we get to Jude, it ain't have chapters. It's just one small book. So it's the longest book to the shortest book. And it's not written in chronological order. But what we're doing through the Bible, we're doing it chronologically as it happened. Who got affected? Who did what? Who obeyed? Who didn't obey? Who got blessed? Who didn't? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's always God's word. But there's always the devil's trying to trick people. He started off in Genesis trying to trick Adam and Eve. Are you sure, God said, the devil said? Are you sure, God said? Yes, he said. He's not going to change his mind. And so Adam and Eve, the Bible says Adam sinned. Eve was deceived. Both sinned. They got fired from the job, evicted from the house. Kids started killing each other. Sin never has anything good attached to it. Now, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. All sin looks good. That's why people do it. Nobody gets up on a Saturday morning and says, well, it's Saturday. I guess we're going to have to sin. No, people sin because they want to. It feels good. It smells good. It looks good. It tastes good. It's all good. But the end of it is death. The Bible says the end of sin will bite like death. Don't do it. It's got death attached to it. So the children of Israel are learning. They're learning one step at a time. So we're going to pick up today in Joshua chapter 9. Joshua's leading the children of Israel. Moses died on the other side of the river. Now Joshua's leading them and God's with them. So here's where it picks up. It's about to get strange. One day, strange men came to the camp of Gilgal. Their clothes were in tatters. Their shoes were full of holes. The donkeys carried old ragged sacks. The leather bottles from which the men would drink their old worn were worn out. They had a little bit of bread that was left in their sacks. It was dry and it was moldy. The strangers asked Joshua and his officers. To them, said the strangers, explained, "We have come from a far country. We want to make peace with you. We've traveled very far to make peace with you." The officers asked, "How do you know that we are not your neighbors? How can we make a treaty with you?" Joshua questioned the strangers further. "Who are you? Where are you from?" They said, "We're from a far country. We have heard about your great God. We are afraid of you, afraid you would defeat us as you did the other kingdoms. Then our elders told us to take food and come to you and make a treaty. We took bread hot out of our ovens. See how dry and moldy it is. The leather bottles were new. See how torn and worn out they are. We've come so far that our clothes and our shoes are worn out." And Joshua and the officers listened. They thought, well, surely this man must have come a long way. And evidently they felt sorry for these poor people. So what harm could they do to Israel? So Joshua and his officers felt so sure that the stranger spoke the truth, nobody bothered to ask God what to do. Instead, they went on without conferring with God. It happens every day in every generation for thousands of years. Some people ask God. Some people don't ask God. Anytime you get in a situation where you've not asked God, it's not going to go good. So they didn't pray. So what he did, Joshua promised to let these men and their people live when the Israelites came into the country. 3 days later, the Israelites moved on and came to the land of Gibeon. There they learned that the strange visitors had come from this nearby land. They had taken dry, moldy bread and worn-out clothes to make Joshua and the officers believe they'd come from a far country. The people blamed the officers for making such a foolish promise without asking God's advice. Now, the people are going to get mad. "Did you not pray?" "Nope." You ever done that as a married person to your wife, your husband? "Did you not pray?" "No, I just thought it was right." Well, you might want to pray next time. The Bible says God's going to order our steps, direct our paths, guide us into all truth. He will talk to us when we go to sleep, when we wake up and walk during the day. God will never leave us nor forsake us, but you have to go to God. That's why the Bible says in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus prayed every day. He prayed every night, prayed every day. Jesus prayed all the time. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said, "I pray all the time. I don't cease praying. I'm always praying. That's why I need God's wisdom. I need God's direction. I need God to lead me and guide me. So the people blamed the officers for making such a foolish promise without asking God's advice. And the officers were angry and they were ashamed. And they said, well, we have promised them by the Lord God of Israel that we would let them live. We cannot break our promise. After some time, the officers thought of a plan. Look, we have to let these people live here, but we're going to make them our servants. So Joshua sent the strangers who had come to Gilgal. Why don't you lie to us? They asked. They've been answered. We knew what happened to Jericho. We knew what happened to Ai. We were afraid. We knew that you would not promise to save our lives if you knew that we lived close by. So we acted as though our land was far away. Now we are in your hands. It's up to you to do what seems right. Joshua said, well, because you did not tell the truth, you and your people will never again own houses. You and your people will never again own land. You're going to be our slaves. You will cut our wood and you will carry our water. Although the Gibeonites had to work hard, they were glad to be alive. They thought it's better to be slaves than to be killed. So it's an incredible story. I mean, the people of God, like I said, throughout the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, the word of God is the truth of God. And so you got to meditate on it day and night. The Bible says, if you meditate on the word day and night, Joshua 1:8, you will prosper and have good success. Psalms 1:1-2, Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1:1-3. If you read the Bible, you got to learn something. God says the same thing over and over. He might say it different ways, but God's good all the time. God's not going to ask you to do anything you cannot do. Whatever God's going to ask me to do, I have the ability to do it, or he wouldn't ask me. God's not going to ask you to do the impossible. God does the impossible. We do the possible. We walk around the walls of Jericho. God knocks them down. We lift up the staff. God will part the water. We make the mud. God will open the blinded eyes. We do the natural. God does the supernatural. We do the natural. God does the supernatural. So if you're willing to obey God, God's never going to ask you to do something that you can't do. You don't have the time to do. You don't have the money to do. God's not going to ask me to do something impossible. It's whatever he's asked me, I can currently do as an act of faith. What you do is an act of faith. We're going to do, I'm going to do this. Well, that's not going to do much. Well, I'm just doing what God told me to do. I'm going to walk around the walls. Well, what's that going to do? Well, I don't know, but God said he'd take care of the walls. I just have to walk around them. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to lay hands on the sick and pray for them. What's going to happen? God said he'd heal the sick. What makes you think that? The Bible says in his word. So we're going to lay hands on the sick. The Bible says, I can resist the devil and he'll flee and sure terror. How do you know that? God says so. I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus and I'm going to resist the devil with the word of God. I'm going to do what God asked me to do. God's never going to ask me to do something I cannot currently do. And that sort of gets in you real deep. And that's a good thought. So we're the people of God. We live on an alien planet. Satan's the temporary current god of this world. He steals, kills, and destroys. Prisons are full. Hospitals are full. Orphans are full. People say, why is God letting that happen? Because God's not in charge of anything down here. We are. God gave this planet to Adam. Adam gave it away to the devil. But when Jesus came, he built something called a church. He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Our job is to storm the gates of hell. Well, what is that? Well, we're to feed the hungry. We're to give water to the thirsty. We're to help the homeless, help the orphan, help the widow, visit people in prison. We are the salt and the light of this planet. Somebody asks you to go 1 mile with them, the Bible says, go two. Somebody asks for your shirt, the Bible says, give them your shirt and your coat. We're to heap coals of fire on people by loving them, not by fighting, not by arguing. We're to resist the devil. We have authority over him. Again, the Bible says, if I resist the devil, he flees, as in sheer terror. It's a good God, and it's a good time to be alive. I tell people it's the greatest day of history to be alive in. People say, man, aren't you afraid of all the things what's going on, you know, and the disease and the COVID and the Wuhan? No, the Bible tells me over and over again, fear not. Jesus, in the 70 years of the New Testament, Jesus said almost on every occasion, fear not, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid, fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. The devil's the author of fear. God's the author of faith. So the story of the Bible is people who, some who chose to believe God and walk by faith. Some choose not to believe God and walk by fear. And so it always turned out good for the people of faith. It never turned out good when you have fear. So the Bible says, casting down fear and everything that rises up against the knowledge of God. Don't be fearful. How do you get fear out of it? Well, it comes out of your mouth. People say, well, I'm fearful. Well, don't say that. Say, what do you say? Well, I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm going to say so. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. What are you going to say when you feel weak? I'm strong in the Lord, and the power is mine. What do you say when you feel confused? I have the mind of Christ. God orders my steps, direct my path. What do you do when you think you're hopeless? God's going to surround me with the shield of divine favor. People are going to like me, not even know why. Psalm 5:12. You've got to learn to say what God says, not what you're feeling, not what you're thinking. You got, the Bible says, think on these things, whatever's lovely, just, honest, worthy of a good report. Think on these things. Don't think on those other things. Those other things are trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. It's always a battle. It's called the battle for the mind. Somebody wrote a great book years ago called The Battle for the Mind. It's where it starts. What are you thinking? Don't think stupid. Don't read stupid. Don't watch stupid. Don't sing stupid. Think on these things, whatever's lovely, honest, and just. I'm going to think good things. You ever get a stupid thought? How do you get a stupid thought out of your mind? Get your mouth saying the word of God. I've told grown men before, you got a problem, open your Bible and read a proverb. What? Read a proverb. I don't feel like reading. No, that's the best time to read one. Just go to Proverbs 1 and let her rip. Say what God says. Read Proverbs 7. Read Proverbs 12. Read Proverbs 31. Say what God says. Find your good Psalm, Psalm 91. Read that to you every day. Psalm 91. You know, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm not going to fear anything that's coming on me. Start saying what God says, and faith will rise up in your soul. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you can't resist the devil. Faith, the simple thing, is simply believing what God said. And that's what we get to do. And that's all God wanted to show from Genesis to Revelation. He's trying to find a group of people that will trust him so he can bless them so the rest of the world will ask them about the hope that's in them. Man, how'd you get so lucky? There's no such thing as luck. I'm just blessed. How'd you get so blessed? I fear God. I've given my life to him. He watches over me. He's got so many angels around me. You can't count them. He orders my steps. He talks to me when I go to sleep. I don't have a hard time sleeping. He talks to me when I go to sleep. He'll talk to me when I wake up. God is for me, not against me. So start talking to yourself. It's a good day. Man, it's just a good day to start telling yourself what God says. If you don't remember it, again, just carry your pocket Bible with you. Read a proverb a day. If you read a proverb a day for 31 days, it will change your life forever. I promise it'll change your life. Guys, thanks for listening. God bless. Have yourself a blessed week.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.